All right, well, if the young people will come, the elementary kids, if they'll get in their place while they're doing so, it's a joy and a privilege to have one of our graduates here from Faith come back. Of course, an exciting night for the Paynes to hear their son preach, and I've known Matt ever since I've been here, and Heather I've known about the same amount of time, and so I'm excited to hear Brother Matt preach. He's been over there at Dwight, did a great job for the last 2 years, just over 2 years now. And I'm working for Brother Woodward. I know doing a good job. Looking forward to hearing from him preach. Before he does, elementary will sing for us tonight.
Feel good. All righty. Here we go. All right. If you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, I do very much appreciate the opportunity to preach here tonight. Kind of unexpected to get a call to come preach at a home church, but I'm glad that I got the opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I saw the elementary kids all running around before church this morning. They seemed pretty excited about singing tonight. You guys did a good job, just in case you were wondering. I thought it sounded good anyway. I don't know if that counts for anything, but we'll go with it. Hebrews chapter number 2, we'll start reading in verse number 1. It says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Skip down to verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again behold I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want to focus on verse number 13 there, and it says, And again I will put my trust in him, and again behold I and the children which God hath given me. Just a simple thought about that phrase there, and again I will put my trust in the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your house this evening. Lord, I ask that you give me the words to say as I speak. Lord, help me to be a blessing to your people. Lord, I pray that you fill me with your power. Lord, use me. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. That verse kind of stuck out to me as I read the chapter, that, and again, behold, I will put my trust in him. But to me, it seemed that if I'm doing it again, I must have done it at least once before. And that's why I read those first three verses, speaking of salvation. So there comes a point in time where we must first trust in Christ. And then here in he talks through verse 9 and verse 10, or through 9 and through 12, talks about the different things that Jesus did as far as creation. You know, without him, there is nothing. We have to have him for everything that we can see. And then in verse 13, it says, And again, I will put my trust in him. And then in the other part of the verse, it says, And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Not only should I trust in him, but also I should encourage others to trust in him, is what I glean from that. And then it seems in verse 14 through the end of the chapter, he talks about the reasons we should trust him. He talks about how he took the death upon the cross, how that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And then it goes on to talk about those different things. And I want to talk about that phrase, just, and again, trust. You know, trust and faith kind of go hand in hand, if you think about it. They're very similar in that aspect. But trusting, you know, who do you trust? As a little kid, you know, oh, I can't trust that person. They'll trick you. You know, your little brother always says to the older brother, oh, I can't trust him. He'll try to steal my money or steal my game or steal this or steal that. There's no trust there. But, you know, I preached this in chapel this morning to some of the kids, and I was trying to give them some illustrations that they could correlate with. And think about it. Who do you trust the most? You know, as a child, if you think about it, your parents. You trust them. Why? You know, because ever since the day that you were born, they brought you home, they took care of you. And they provided food for you, they provided housing and clothes. They've given you so many reasons to trust them. You never doubted. I told the kids, you know, when's the last time you walked up to your mom and dad and asked, did you pay the electric bill this month? Did you make your house payment, mom and dad? Because I'm worried about it. I'm stressed out about it that you did not pay the electric bill. No, they don't even think about it. Why? Because they trust you. They trust that you'll take care of it. They don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross their mind. Why? Because there's a trust there. And they may not understand it at the time, but as we get older, it seems like we worry about some of the silliest things. We let things bother us that shouldn't. We should trust. And this verse just jumped out of me. And again, that means at some point we must have not trusted him like we did before. And it means we must have trusted him once before, so we should trust him again. We're going to look at some different things of how we can trust God and why. Look over in the book of Psalms. We'll use our Bibles a lot tonight. Psalms chapter 57. We'll look there to start with. Psalms chapter number 57 and verse number 1. And it says here, David speaking, it says, Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Here there's several chapters in the book of Psalms where David is running from King Saul. Now, I find it very interesting that David, you know, he was anointed king sometime in his youth, and then he even moved into the king's palace, and now here he is running from the king. You know, God showed him what he was going to do later on in his life. And here he is running and hiding away from the man that is trying to kill him. And he had opportunity to kill Saul, but no, he waited because he trusted. Here it says, Lord, I'm going to trust in your refuge. You know, a little kid, when they get scared, they always run to mom and dad. Why? They trust them. They know, hey, there's safety there. There's refuge there. I know that if there's a storm or something that scares me, I can run to them for safety. Why? Because there's a record there. There's a record of trust that says, hey, whenever I've been scared before, mom and dad have always comforted me. Probably more so mom than dad, but at least one of them. They've comforted you. They've helped you. They've given you a reason to go to them to trust. And here David says, in this time where I'm running, in this time of insecurity, I'm running to God, trusting that He'll take care of me, trusting that He'll overshadow me, trusting that He'll be a refuge to me, trusting God in the trials. Look over in chapter 56 and verse number 3. Now this is a verse we probably memorized as a child. It says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. I remember memorizing that verse in King's Kids. Probably one of those beginning verses that you remember and you memorize, you say over and over and over again, and you can never remember where it's found in the Bible. You just remember the verse. But think about it. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. It's so simple. You know, if I fear, it's simple. Just trust God. If I don't understand, it's simple. Just trust. That's what it's saying. When I'm afraid, to trust Him. Look over in the book, chapter 55 and verse number 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's a good way to trust right there. Casting your burdens upon Him. And let Him sustain you. The Bible says in 1 Peter, I believe it is, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, have you ever given somebody something to do? Maybe it's a task. Maybe it's something that they're going to carry or do. And you worry about it from the moment that you give it to them until they finish it, because you're not sure about it. Have you ever been carrying something heavy and you give it to somebody, and they look like they're going to drop it as soon as you give it to them? And the rest of the time you just kind of steady them and hope they don't drop it. It's a silly illustration, but that's how we are with God sometimes when we're not careful. We say, okay, God, here you go. Here's my problem. Here's my fear. Here's my trust. And they go, okay, God, I hope you don't drop it. I hope you can take care of me. No, we should trust Him wholeheartedly. The Bible says in Proverbs we should trust Him with all of our heart and lean not into our own understandings. But here David says, casting your burdens upon Him, because He will sustain you. It doesn't say that He might. It doesn't say it's a possibility. It says that He will sustain us, to trust Him. When all here in David's life, all had gone wrong. He had a bunch of men with him that were all running from the king because he was supposed to be king, and Saul was angry and jealous. And here he is running from what he knows he's supposed to be doing, just hoping that God will take care of him, just trusting in the fact that God will keep him alive long enough to be the king. I'm sure there were close encounters. You know, the Bible says that Saul threw a javelin at David multiple times. He was a soldier. I'm sure that javelin got pretty close. He was good with his weapons. The thing about it, David is in fear of his life, that he's still trusting in God. This is a severe trial for him. Look over in the book of Job, chapter number 13. Job, chapter number 13. How far does this trust go? How much are we supposed to trust God? When does this trust cease, so to speak? Excuse me. Job, chapter number 13, and verse number 15. It says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him, but I will maintain mine own ways before Him. Here Job is kind of defending himself against his friends. His friends have accused him of all the different things, that it's his fault that all this is happening. And he goes on kind of defending himself, kind of defending God here in this chapter. And then he says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Basically, no matter what happens, I'm trusting God. I have nowhere else to go. I put everything that I have in God, trusting that He'll take me through. If you think about it as a Christian, if you're saved, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, what do we have to fear? You know, if we put our trust in Him and the worst happens, we go to heaven. Death. It's that simple. We've trusted in Him for that. But here Job says, no matter what happens, no matter how bad this gets, no matter if this gets worse or if it gets better, I'm trusting Him. And I'm going to maintain my ways before Him. I'm going to do what I know is right to do, no matter what. Here his wife had forsaken him. He had lost everything. And here in the face of his friends, he said, I'm going to trust Him even though He kill me. Even though He takes everything from me, I'm still going to trust Him. I'm still going to maintain my way in front of Him. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was the first people that I thought of. If you want to turn, I'll just read the verses to you. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known, O king, that if we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. To me, that's that verse in action. It is. Here they told the king, look, we're not going to serve your gods. Even if you throw us into the fiery furnace, we're confident that God will deliver us. But if He doesn't, we're okay with that too. We're still not going to serve your gods. The same illustration. You know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I guarantee you, they never walked with Jesus like they did in the fiery furnace, ever before that and ever after that. I guarantee you, Jesus didn't appear to them in their daily devotions and walk with them like He did in the fiery furnace. It took a trial beyond what they could comprehend to get that close to God. And I guarantee you that they didn't regret it. I guarantee you that they never regretted trusting God. But no matter what happened, if you look at David, you look at Job, you look at those three Hebrew boys, all those, they trusted God wholly. No matter what was going on, and God brought them through. So if you don't want to trust God, why not? He's proven himself over and over and over again. He's proven himself to us that he's worthy to be trusted. He's proven to us that he can be trusted, that he'll take care of those who trust in him. Look over in the book of 1 Timothy. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. So we should trust God in our trials. Trust him that he'll take care of us. Trust him that he'll bring us through. You know, the disciples, when they were on the water and Jesus was in the bottom of the boat and the storm was raging, they were afraid. And they went and got Jesus and they said, you know, what are we going to do? The boat's going to sink. And Jesus calmed the storm. You know, we always seem like we want that when something happens. We always pray to Jesus expecting him to just calm the sea, just like he did for the disciples. But that's not always how it works. There's a little saying on the wall at our church right before you walk into the auditorium. And it says, don't tell God how big the storm is. Tell the storm how big God is. And I thought that's interesting. You know, we often talk about how big this or that is. And to each of us, our trials are big. You know, I may not understand your trial, you may not understand mine, but to each of us, each trial that we confront is big to us. But rather than explaining to everybody why the trial is so big, why don't we explain to the trial how big our God is and what he's capable of doing? 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10. It says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Trust God to help you in the work. You know, when we get busy in the work, if we're not careful, we end up like Martha and Mary. We get in that situation where we think, man, I'm Martha, I'm doing all these things, and we forget to spend time with Jesus. Or we forget that Jesus is with us in the work. You know, if God has called us to do something, he'll be with us through the entire work. He'll stay with us. Here Paul is telling Timothy, hey, we labor and we suffer reproach, but we're doing it for God. Remember that we're trusting in God through all of this. Look over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, saith the Lord. And many times, if we're not careful, we get caught up in what I'm doing isn't working. Now, I haven't been in the school very long over there, but I always wonder, when I preach in chapel or when I talk to the kids in school, I always wonder, do they get it? Do they really understand what's going on? Do they really grasp the concept of Christianity? Do they really, will they go on and serve God? What are they going to do? Do they get it? And I was thinking about my mom and dad growing up. And I'm sure there was a time growing up where there was a point where you said, I wonder if they're going to get it. And I'm sure there was also a point where they said, I think they got it. I think they understand what it's all about. You know, but I'm sure during that time there's doubts. You know, has what I've done really paid off? Am I just laboring and nothing's going to result from it? We're here trusting in God that he's with you. You know, God's caused us to raise good kids for him. God's caused us to do a work for him. God's caused us to have a good marriage and to have a good relationship with our spouse and with our family and all these things. So why won't he help us with it? You know, the Bible tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So why not trust him that he'll do that? If he's never away from us, then why can't we trust him that, hey, he's with me in the work? Have you ever been doing a job? Or maybe you've asked somebody to come help you do a job and they show up late. Or they don't show up at all until you're done. It's frustrating, isn't it? You said you were going to come help me. And then I'm already halfway done with the project and now you show up. I'm so glad that you finally woke up and came over to help me out. No, God never has that problem. You'll never have that problem with God. You know, God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That means he's with you all the time. Doesn't matter if it's in the trial like we talked about before or if it's in the midst of the work where you're sweating and toiling and laboring for those things which you believe God has called you to do. He's with you. And he's with you to help you and to uphold you, but you have to trust in that. Look over in the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 18. Book of 2 Kings and chapter number 18 and verse number 5. Here he's talking about the king Hezekiah. He says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that went before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prepared, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. And he smote the Philistines even unto Gaza, and the borders therefore from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. Here, the Bible gives us a good example of success in the work. Now here, Hezekiah, if you look through verse number 4, it talks about him removing the sin and the high places and the idols that Israel had set up. And then it talks about him trusting in God. And then it talks about him cleaving to God and following after God and not forsaking the commandments which he laid forth. But, you know, trusting was a key part of that success. Yes, first he had to get rid of the sin that was in Israel at the time. Then he had to trust God, and then he had to stay close to him. You know that verse we read in the beginning, and again, behold, I will put my trust in him? You know, somewhere along the line, they had lost it. You know, if we're not careful, we lose the trust that we have in God just a little bit. We let it slide. It's called backsliding. We lose just a little bit of that faith, a little bit of that trust, and we've got to renew it again and remove the sin. And he said he trusted in God, and then he claved him. Now, I don't know, when I think of the word clave, I think of a little kid wrapped around their dad's leg, not letting go, and dad's trying to walk away and get the kid off of it. Now, that's what I think of when I think of clave. Refusing to let go. Using everything that that little guy's got to hang on. Refusing to drop off. Refusing to let go. Maybe you think of a dog who's just got a hold of a bone and just won't quit. Won't let it go. No matter how hard you try to take it away from him. That's how we should be with our relationship with God. That time that you have set aside, whether it's in the morning or the evening or the afternoon, it should be that, no, I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to give that up for entertainment or for, well, whoever. This is for God. And that time, it has to be special. If it's not, you won't do it. But you know, if you don't have a good relationship with someone, it's hard to trust them. Most people that you don't trust, you don't know well. It's true. The closer you get to someone, the more that you know them. Even though they have faults, you still trust them. Have you ever seen someone standing up straight and, you know, you tell them to cross their arms and tell them to fall and you'll catch them? You ever done that before? And they fall back and you catch them. You know, you just let them go a little bit. I've done that before and I got all the way down to here before I caught him. And the first time, he flailed his arms up. Whoa, what are you doing? He didn't know me very well. And then I did it again and he didn't move at all because I caught him the first time. So that's a long fall from all the way up here all the way to the ground. But I caught him. So he wasn't worried about it the second time. Now, if I'd have dropped him, he probably would have been nervous. I'd have been nervous. You know, show me a time when God's dropped you. Take me to a place where God's failed you. Take me to a place where this book has not been true. Take me to a place when God has not done that which He has promised. So what do you have not to trust Him? Why do we not trust Him? What is it? Is it pride? Is it arrogancy? Is it refusal to come to God in prayer? What is it? But trust Him in the work. And many times we think, oh, I get busy working for God and God just doesn't care what I'm doing. That's not true. If God called you to do it, He's very interested in what you're doing. He's concerned about what you're doing and He wants to help you. Maybe we should stop long enough to pray and spend some time at His feet to get His help in the work. And then here, as you can see, Hezekiah, there's success, but success isn't always measured on our scale. Now, you may look at his life or you may look at her life and say, well, they're not a successful Christian. Their family isn't. Well, how do you know? You know, we look at success totally different than what God looks at success. So don't get discouraged when you think, well, this isn't turning out the way that I thought it was supposed to be, or maybe we had our bus routes doing bad and it's not what I wanted it to be, or my kids aren't acting the way. Trust God. Pray about it. Give God time to work. He's with you in the labor. So let Him do His part. Look over in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter number 4. I know I'm talking fast, but I hope you get it. I hope you're listening. Philippians, chapter number 4. And verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, trust that God will be what you need when you need it. You know, many times we pray for things and we don't get an answer right away. Or maybe it's a no, or maybe it's a wait. And we get frustrated. Well, God doesn't give me what I want. God doesn't give me what I need. Just be patient. You know, here it talks about a peace of God that passes all understanding. And you know, David was going through a trial. But I guarantee you that the peace of God was there, but he had to go seek it. He had to go find it. He had to wait for it. You know, God will give us that peace when we need it. But when we need it. Not before. Not after. Just when you need it. Look over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 26. Isaiah, chapter number 26. And verse number 4. Isaiah, chapter number 26. Verse number 4. Trust the God that He'll give you what you need when you need it. He'll give you that peace when the time comes. He'll give you that reassurance that He's there. Verse number 4, it says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know, God is our strength. He can be, if you want Him to be. But you've got to trust Him. The only example I could think of with this was weightlifting. Have you ever seen somebody bench pressing? they always have a spotter, or at least you're supposed to have a spotter. I should say it that way. Why? Because in case they give out, there's somebody there to catch it. I didn't work out a whole lot in college, but I did it a few times with a guy that helped me out as a spotter. And he would always hold his hands right underneath the bar as I would come up and as I'd come down. He'd always tell me, if you get tired, I'll catch it. Don't worry about it. Just put it down, I'll get it, I'll put it up on the rack. And there was times when I would struggle and I'd start shaking. You know, and you want to push it through, but you just don't have enough. And he put two fingers on it. And he said, I'm only using two fingers. You can do it. But just that little bit of help helped you get it all the way up. Just a little bit of help. It wasn't a lot. But he waited until I absolutely had to have it. And then he just gave me a little bit. And you know what? That helps to build strength. But without that, if he'd have just picked the bar up and moved it for me, I wouldn't have gained anything from it. I wouldn't have been able to push up the next time. I wouldn't have been able to get up the weight the next time. Well, he just gave me a little bit of help, just enough to get me through so that I could still build. And we get thrown off, well, God's trying to hurt me. No, he's not. He's trying to build you. He's trying to strengthen you. You say, well, God's not giving me the strength that I think I need. But he knows what you need. He knows exactly what you need. And I read an advertisement the other day in a gun magazine about a company that says, we give the customer what they need, not what they want. I thought that was interesting. You know, many times we tell God, I need this, and I want this, and I want this, and God says, well, you don't need that. I know what you need, and I'm going to give you this. And we whine because God gave us what we needed, not what we wanted. Say, well, God, I wanted this, and God says, no, you need this. I'll give you your wants when the time is right, but for right now, you need this to get through. But God's our strength. Let him be when you need it. Now, God's not going to come in ahead of time and rescue you. God wants to build you and wants to strengthen us. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a reason. That's why we have to trust. Look over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 37. Psalms, chapter number 37. Verse number 3. Psalms 37 and verse number 3. It says, trust in the Lord, and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. If you look in there, it says, trust. Verse number 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know, trust God to lead you. Trust God to give you direction in your life. I don't know about you, but have you ever been to a point in your life where you know you're at a crossroad, but you're not quite sure which way to go yet? And you've been praying about it, and you're just not sure. And you're waiting, patiently, trying to figure it out, praying to God, trying to get direction, counseling. And you wonder, you know, is God ever going to give me direction? Is he ever going to show me? And many times people mess up because they just make a hasty decision. They run off and do because they stopped trusting. Because they stop saying, well, I'll just wait on God. And I'll just trust that God will show me just what I need it. And he will. He'll show you right when you need it, where you need to go. But you have to trust him long enough. That verse number 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers. And on it goes. But wait patiently. I think of, there's a little boy, I don't know if you know the Bryants, Thomas. Whenever Mrs. Bryant tells him she's getting ready to leave, he will bug her until the time that she walks out the front door. He would just sit there. There's a little pew out by the office, and he'll sit there. Are we ready to go yet, Mom? You said we're ready to go. Are we ready to go yet, Mom? He's waiting, but he's not waiting patiently. And he's constantly pestering. Mom, are we ready to go yet? You said we were going to leave. Mom, can we go now? Can we go now? And constantly. Why? Because he wants to go. Mom, I'm waiting. He always says that. Mom, I'm waiting. She said, we'll go wait patiently. Well, I am waiting, Mom, and you said we were going to leave. Well, we get like that. God, I'm waiting. God, I'm still waiting. God says, wait patiently. I have a plan. I have a direction for you to go. But just be patient. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I remember Dad telling me that before. Trust me, son. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. Just wait. It'll happen. We got to trust. It takes trust to be patient. It takes trust to wait. Look over in Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 5. And we'll end with this. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 5. You all know this verse. This is a familiar verse too. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust God wholeheartedly. Don't be like that person that you give something to, and then you just constantly watch them and fret and worry and hope that they get through. No. Give it to God. Like we read in Psalms, cast your burdens upon Him and then leave them there. Trust that He'll carry them for you. Trust that He'll bring you through that which it is. Trust that He'll guide you. Trust that He'll give you strength. Trust that He'll give you that peace. But it's all about trust. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him with everything? Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And He said He would continue to do good in the sight of God. Why? Because He trusted Him. Because He trusted Him with everything. Think about Job. As far as we know, Job's one of the first books of the Bible, if not the first. He had no Bible to go back to and look. Yet he still trusted God. That's faith. You know, Thomas, he said, I won't believe until I see Jesus, until I put my fingers in His hands and my hand in His side. And then when he saw Jesus, what, he was ashamed because he knew he should have trusted. And God says, oh, I'm glad you believe now that you've seen me, but faith is believing without seeing. You know, last time I checked, none of us have seen God. And if you have, it's probably because you ate the wrong kind of pizza way too late at night. All right? But we haven't seen God. We see what God has done. We see the things that God has created. We've seen the results of His great salvation. We've seen all of those things, yet we don't trust Him. If you look back in the book of Hebrews, where we started, just read through verse 14 and 18 when you have some time later tonight. 14 through 18 talks about some good reasons why you should trust Him. Think about salvation. Think about that all that God took away. In verse number 2, it says, for if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedient received a just recompense of reward. You know what that is? That's hell. Just looking at salvation, that's enough reason to trust God with everything. Because He took everything from you that you couldn't take care of. It talks about His resurrection, His death on the cross. He conquered death. You know, death is the one thing we can't control. Doctors can't fix death. They can't do it. They can't undo it. But God can. God can take your death and take your fear away and take you to heaven. It's done. He's conquered death. He's conquered Satan. You know, we fear Satan and we should. But God's conquered him. So why don't we get God on our side? Nothing like going into a fight with no bullets in your gun and no friends to help you. So why not get God on your side? What else do you need? Now I think about my brothers. You all know my brothers are big guys. I was okay. If I was getting picked on, I'd just go get Jake or Ben. I'm okay. I'm all right. I remember a couple times I got picked on. I was like, hey, I got Jake and Ben. I'm okay. Come over here. Now I'm stacked. I'm loaded. My bleachers are... All right, have at it, man. Go for it. I'm just going to step back here. I'm going to let them do all the work. So, well, that's silly. But God is so big. And God is so powerful. And we constantly do battle when we should just step back and say, all right, God, I'll trust You that You can take care of it. And I'll trust You that You can handle the situation. You know, I never won a fight between Jake and Ben. Ever. I fought with him a lot, but I never won. Never happened. Say why? Because I'm 180 pounds. And I don't know, Jake, what, 250, 260? All right? You got a little weight difference on me. No, you're never going to win a fight with the devil. Ever. It's never going to happen. You can fight with him and fight with him and fight with him and fight with him all you want. But until you stop and trust God to do the fighting for you, you're never going to win. Ever. So trust Him. What are you waiting for? Why are we so hesitant to trust the One that created everything? You know, I have some friends... But I don't have any friends that can take a mound of dirt, make it into a person and breathe into it, and it starts walking around talking. I don't have any friends like that. Just one. Same God. So why don't I trust Him? So why don't I give everything to Him? Why don't I just say, here, God, here's it all. Here's my life. Here's everything that I have. Here's the problems that I have. Here's the things that I have done. Here's my life. Here's my children. Here's my wife. Here's everything. And I trust You to take care of it and leave it there. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for this opportunity we have to be interested in. Lord, pray the message to help. And the point was gotten across on our page. Help us to trust You, Lord, to give You everything that we have, Lord, to lay it all at Your feet and allow You to do Your work. As the ladies come, play the invitation song. If you need to do business, come on.
On church tonight, He preached on trusting in Him, trusting again, wholeheartedly, in our trials, in our work, in our labor, for His direction. God's calling you to do business. Use the altar this evening.